4 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton in person out here at Hollywood Casino. Nathan Williams, my dude Nate, back in studio.
We are out here at the Hollywood Casino, Bink. As I mentioned, we are out here until 6 o'clock. When the drive signs off, the deals sign off as well. Come out here, register for a chance to win a signed Charles Minnehoo football, or register for a chance of a pair of tickets to Chiefs and Colts. Plus, come out here and be sure to follow the Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever they're calling it, for a chance to win $100 in pin cash. A winner is polled every hour, which means 3 minutes ago someone won. So you got 57 minutes to get down here and follow them on social media.
Did I mention how much I like this place again?
It's come up a time or two, yeah.
Yeah, kind of a second home out here. Absolutely love it. And actually, it'd be a good place to watch Chiefs games, to be honest with you, and the NFL, because I can imagine how much fun it is placing wagers on different teams. Have a little skin in the game on different games. And now the NFL, by the way, now the NFL is all about it, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny? Because Tony Romo, remember when they wouldn't let him do his fantasy football camp he was doing? And now all of a sudden that NFL Network, 10% of ESPN, all that, now that they they're going to have a stake in even this.
And yeah, they have a stake in what NFL has a stake in. I forget one of the sports books, but NFL has a definitely has a stake.
Well, they're going to have one in this one too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely fun. But as far as what we're watching tomorrow, let me ask Nathan back there in studio. Nathan, you there, my friend?
Bink, how are you, man?
I'm good, my friend. What are you watching tomorrow, Nathan? What is something Nathan wants to see tomorrow? Because I think it's probably like a lot of us.
It's obviously Josh Simmons. And I mean, the conversation doesn't flow too far from there. I think that's the only thing I'm really concerned about tomorrow is the left side of that offensive line in general. If Breshad Smith does play and gets run, though, that's something else that I'm interested in. I wanted the Chiefs to take a bigger swing in the running back room than they did, but I think the team and the reports out of camp are still optimistic about Breshad Smith. So those would be my two.
Oh, they are.
What I'm watching for tomorrow night.
He got a wheel route pass, Rob. How about that? I told you I'm waiting for the Breshad wheel route because, you know, the former wide receiver at the U turned into running back at SMU, turned in the seventh round pick. And I do believe that seventh round picks would have been probably fifth round picks a year ago. So even though it's seventh rounder, I do think that they're a couple rounds above. But where can the Chiefs actually improve this year? Can they get better on defense? I don't know. I mean, can they? Top 10 defense last year, ninth in total defense, 18th against the pass. So I guess you can look at the Chiefs, say, all right, they need to shore up things against the pass because that was bottom third in the NFL. Eighth against the run, they were very good against the run. Nobody had 100 yards on them that was a running back in the National Football League, and that includes Saquon Barkley in the Super Bowl. However, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback position, actually still did have 122 against the Chiefs, but that was the only ball carry over 100 yards last year against this defense. I think the best thing to me was fourth in points against. The defense, fourth in points against, meaning extremely stingy when they're down there. And keep this in mind, they were second in 2023 in points against. They went to fourth in 2024. Offense, this is where they can show improvement. Offense was 17th in the NFL in total offense, 14th with the pass. We know they can be better than that. They were 22nd in running the football. It's going to be a lot of the same cast and characters, but they were 22nd, so that's bottom third of the NFL in running as well. But 15th in points per game, and they've sat there for the last two seasons. I mean, we're far removed when they were number four, number one in the NFL in points per game. But, yeah, you're asking for, you know, to get better and better in certain areas. Do you expect the defense to be any better? No, I'm expecting status quo. Maybe getting better against
there's not much
the pass, maybe.
There's room for improvement, but it's marginal, yeah.
Pass, yes. Sacks, too.
Yeah,
definitely sacks, because this team, when they won back-to-back Super Bowls against Philly and San Francisco, they were number two in the NFL in sacks. They were doing it by whichever way Spags would come up with, using mirrors, whatever, smoking mirrors. They got to the quarterback, safety blitzes, middle linebacker blitzes, things typical guys that weren't your edge rushers, they were doing it. But they were number two. They slid back to 18th in the NFL in sacks last year, and I do think that hurts the pass defense as well. I think that's a big reason why he was 18th in the National Football League, because they were 18th in sacks, meaning they weren't getting to the quarterback and forcing errant throws. Those go hand in hand. So, yes, but they're fourth in points again. So when you're top five in that category, it is tough to ask for more. Now, where you can ask for more is this team being middle of the pack, middle of the road in points per game. That is something they can get better. And I know Alex Gold was talking about the Sam McDowell's article he had out talking about how the Chiefs were last in red zone scoring and how they converted touchdowns instead of field goals. You're looking at a top 10 offense. Sure, that's great. It's a new season. You got to be able to capitalize when you get in the red zone. I think we know that. But that takes guys actually catching the football, something you hope is much, much better this year. It takes size. I've always been a big advocate of size at wide receiver. I do think that hurts when you get in the red zone, to be quite honest with you. If Kelsey's not catching every touchdown pass, that hurts this team. But can the offense get better? Yes, it can. Should it get better? Yes, it can. Because I think this division is actually better, too. I'm not like Colin Cowherd or one of these guys out here, USA Today, that had the Chiefs finishing second in the AFC West. No. They're still the class of the division. I still think they're going to get 10 straight division titles, but I do think everybody's better, and you can't always count on status quo. The offense must show improvements. And I know last year it was wide open St. Joe offense, and then reality hit. Then everybody's hurt, and you had to change who and what you were. This year they went to St. Joe. Hey, it's looking great. Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice. Well, they knew the suspension was coming with Rice, knew that was going to happen. But Hollywood Brown's been banged up, missed five straight practices. What's going to happen? Can they get better on offense? I think they can, and they should. Will they? We'll see. It's been two straight years just being middle of the road, but they've been able to get to the bowl because of that defense being so good. I don't expect the defense to slide at all this season. If not, I think they can be better. But the offense, I do believe, can be exponentially better.
I think the winning has become a cologne that covers the odor of mediocrity the Chiefs offense has had the last couple of years. I think last season, Carrington and I were, you know, told by the text line, we're haters, we're clowns, I can't believe we're saying this, they keep winning, shut up.
Text line.
I know, the text line usually loves me. But they were a middle-of-the-pack offense by every metric last year. And when you have Patrick Mahomes and you have Andy Reid, that should not be happening. We talked about earlier in the show, I want to see the 2018, 2019, even the 2022 offense come back. 2023 and 2024 offense, it was just mid. And I feel like the winning they've done the last 2 years, the Super Bowl in 23 and the 15-2 last year, was like this perfume or cologne that covered this stink of mediocrity. It wasn't the smelliest thing, but it was not up to their standards. So when you have these stats about the passing offense and the rushing offense, I think those things are spots that not only should they improve, but they absolutely need to improve. It cannot be November and the Chiefs be, I don't know, 9-1, let's just, whatever, how many games happened before November, and we're looking at the offense be 18th in the NFL. I won't care about 9-1 at that point. I want an explosive offense again in Kansas City, and I don't want to look at Patrick Mahomes as, oh, he's managing the game en route to 26 touchdowns and just around 4,000 yards. I want freak show numbers from my freak show talent quarterback, and I think there are a couple different reasons we haven't seen it. And I think to Nathan's point, and Nathan queued this up perfectly. I don't know, by accident or on purpose. Either way, credit to him.
Nah, Nathan's pretty with it.
Two ways to do that are an improved offensive line. So it is worth noting, is Josh Simmons the guy? Keep an eye out in the preseason, early in the regular season. And last year, their run game, speaking of mediocrity, was not that great. I know Kareem Hunt was a breath of fresh air after that Niners game, but basically after that, he was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, which is not an acceptable run game in the NFL. I know people think, well, you do run the ball three times, you get 9 yards, man, 3 yards a carry. Well, that's not really how the NFL works. So if you can improve a running back, whether it be Pacheco's health, Rashard Smith, maybe a full offseason from Kareem Hunt, and you have an improved offensive line, then we should be getting back to the fun, explosive 2022, 2019, 2018, 2020 type offenses. But Bink, I feel like the text line is going to call me a hater, but if it's Thanksgiving and the Chiefs offense is 13th in the NFL, but they're 11-1 or whatever, I'm not going to be crediting them for all these 11 wins. I'm going to be saying, why are we stuck in the media? Why is it an Alex Smith type of churn?
Well, I think that's fair to expect as Chiefs fans, and I know you've gotten to the point now where just going to the Super Bowl doesn't quench your thirst like it used to. I mean, think about that gap with Chiefs head between Dawson's Super Bowl and when they actually made the Super Bowl with Mahomes. A lot of lean years, even 21 years without winning a playoff game happened in this town. It's been tough. And you get to the point where your expectations are to be great. Your expectations now are seven straight years. You're on the better part of a decade going to the AFC title game every single year. You're not doing Super Bowl parties sitting there watching the Patriots anymore. You're actually watching the Kansas City Chiefs, which is much different. But your expectations change. And if you want to see this machine keep on working and not have to sweat it out and be in a cardiac unit in the fourth quarter with this team and see this team actually put teams away, get a 10-point lead down the stretch when you can start icing games and handing to your running game and seeing productive yards and not sweating out the end or sweating out blocking a field goal against the Broncos to win a game. Yes, it worked out for the Chiefs, but, yeah, you're not being a hater. You're being a realist. Like, how long can your luck continue? Like, how long? I can walk out of this casino right now, Rob, and win $100 on a slot machine, right? But how long is that going to? How long is that going to last, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to reel me in and bring me back, say, hey, man, take your money. You know, be happy with your winnings there. But it's not going to continue to do that. And that's the way football is. It's not going to continue to come up sevens for you at the game and every game. You just want to see this team get progressively better. Just like 2 years ago when they were 9-6 on Christmas after losing to the Raiders. Yeah, they turned it on for the postseason because that's what they do. This team is awesome in the postseason. Get those home games, get that one seed. That's what matters because Andy Reid's number two all-time in postseason wins for a head coach, and Patrick Mahomes is number two all-time in quarterback wins. Get to the postseason. But getting there, yay. You don't need these games coming down to the wire because that's what they are. They really are. They're right down to the wire 100%, and people just don't want to see that anymore. Coming up next, though, a man that's seen every practice, a man that's in tune, a man that respects Tyquan Thornton. We'll talk to Nate Taylor from ESPN next. Welcome back, Hollywood Casino. We're sitting here in the sports book, Jay Binkley with Rob Britton, Nathan Williams producing the operations, Kansas City Chiefs, Arizona Cardinals preseason game one tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Joining us now, a Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor. What's up, Nate?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good, man. What's going on with you? You ready for this game, man? You excited about this one?
Sure. I might as well be ready for this game. I don't know why I'm getting feedback. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just you're getting some feedback, Nate?
Yeah.
I think it's just the background noise of the casino there, Jay. But if we
background noise of the
call
casino?
Nate back, we can make that happen.
Nate, can you hear me as much now,
yeah,
or is it better?
Yeah, I can still hear you, but I can still hear myself. It's okay.
Oh, well, you know what we can do? We can
got it. We
try
can work
that
on
again.
That one. Yeah,
and we can work on that one. What do you think that might be? The mix minus whatever. We'll fix this by the time it's done. But anyway, Nate. Rob and I were talking like these preseason games. It's funny, you know. You watch Burrow and Chase. Yeah, they look good, but they needed to do some things. They're so bad the first two games of the season. But like Josh Allen, you know, have the headset on. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. I'm not expecting more than a series from him. To be quite honest with you, I'm not expecting a full quarter. But man, these preseason games have been rough. So, what will you be watching to try to get anything from this game?
The thing you have to watch most is Josh Simmons, the projected starting left tackle. Obviously, the rookie who's done really well in training camp. What you don't want to happen is what happened with
Probably try to call him back, Nathan, there is just a little bit rough. He was going to watch Josh Simmons. That was going to be what he was talking about there. We'll talk to Nate Taylor, get reconnected with him and get a better connection. But, obviously that's going to be the number one thing that anybody's watching. And, yeah, I do expect for Nate. I mentioned it's a story. It's going to be the story nationally. It's what the Rapoport, the Schefter, and the Colin Cowards, if you even put any stock into what he's saying anymore, is going to be watching. But guarantee it, if he plays well, people are going to be talking about that with the Kansas City Chiefs and talking about, hey, they're fixing this offensive line. They're doing good things with it. Why stop and think the Chiefs dynasty is starting to change? Because I keep seeing this ad nauseum, no matter where you're looking, about how the Chiefs dynasty is starting to come back to the pack and can they keep this up? And I keep wondering where that's coming from. I'll tell you this much, if Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, the same, keep in mind, Joe Burrow's been on the couch the last 2 years in the postseason, but if these guys had gone to seven straight AFC title games, it would be, what are they going to do next? What's Josh going to do next? He's got a dynasty. He's rolling. He's not even 30 years old. What's he going to be doing? Why don't we look at the Chiefs that way? Why aren't the Chiefs considered that around the league? Now it seems to be a hot take to say they're going to take a step backwards. And people keep looking at it. They keep looking at the Chiefs and what they're doing. And they're thinking, they're going to take a step back. And they said the same thing last year. And they said the same 2 years, 2 years ago when they were 9-6 on Christmas. Oh, my God, they're going to take a step back. Then they get to the postseason with the 15th best points per game team on offense, and they win everything. They win the Super Bowl. Mahomes isn't even 30. No dynasty talk should stop with Mahomes until he's 40. And even then, Tom Brady said, maybe that window's still open because look how good he was in his 40s, racking up a Super Bowl title. Yeah, he was that good. For Mahomes, that window's always there. And to win the postseason, it's always there. So despite what your neighbor says, despite when you flip on TV and see Colin Cowherd talking crap that he talks about, or Stephen A., or any of these guys talking about the Chiefs, you have to remember something. Mahomes isn't even 30. Okay, for the next decade, it's going to be all about Patrick Mahomes. Again, he's got – and I finally started seeing this stat. I hadn't seen it thrown out there. I saw CBS doing something on X about it the other day, how they have – Mahomes has 17 postseason wins. Finally, that was out there. Josh Allen's got 7, by the way. He'd never been to a Super Bowl. And that's the most ever for a playoff wins for a quarterback to never go to the Super Bowl. Mahomes has 17. That's only next to Tom Brady. That's it. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, that's the list. Joe Montana was there as an obstacle, but Mahomes passed him. Joe Montana had 16 postseason wins. Mahomes has 17. Again, not even 30 years old. Turns 30 this football season. But again, 17 postseason wins. You can't sleep on that, but everybody can know this dynasty's still open until Mahomes is done playing football. Nate, you back with us?
Yes, sir. I'm back here. How you doing, Bing?
Can you hear me better, Nate?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, we're the sports book, man. We're having a lot of fun doing things. We've been talking about this game tomorrow, and clearly Josh Simmons and the wide receivers. I think both of us, Rob and I, want to see the wide receivers. Like, who's going to step up? Because you're kind of going to be in the same situation as last year if Hollywood Brown's not ready to roll, because Rice is going to be hit with that suspension, not an injury. But you still might be without those two guys, two of your top three, going forward. So wide receivers and, of course, Josh Simmons is what I want to see.
Yeah, for sure. And, again, what I was going to say is you don't want to see what happened yesterday with Anthony Richardson, where it's like, you know, I think that's more on the quarterback based on everyone I've talked to against, you know, an empty protection with the running back being an option. You know, you just hope you just hope that not only that the protection is good, but obviously there's communication that can start to really grow for Kingsley Suamata-Ia at left guard and Joshua Simmons at left tackle. So, hey, even Patrick told us a couple days ago, hey, I'd prefer to be hit once so that I'm not, you know, it's not like a practice. This is an actual game, so I understand, you know, what can happen to you. But you just want to see a smooth operation on offense. Yeah, like you said, maybe you get a series, maybe you get two. You know, it'd be nice if they scored some points, even if it's a field goal. Just move the ball, get out of there healthy. Obviously, last year was a real anomaly with the first play of the preseason resulting in Hollywood Brown's injury that, you know, left him out for much of the season until December. We're not going to see Hollywood Brown tomorrow, but the hope is, hey, maybe he could be available for a couple of snaps, you know, the following week against the Seattle Seahawks. So the hope now is everybody stays healthy. The offensive line looks good. They have a good start, and then you can build from here before, obviously, you play the Chargers in Sao Paulo on, what is it, September 5th, something like that. So, again, we're about a month away from the real thing, but, you know, thank goodness we're actually going to see them play against another team tomorrow in Arizona.
What do you make about Josh Simmons, Nate? I'm sure people ask ad nauseum, or whether you're at the grocery store, the gas station, you name it, or doing radio interviews or whatever. What do you think of Josh Simmons? Listen, me, you, and Rob have as much NFL experience in games as he does. So it'd be a guess. It'd be a guess at this point. But I will say this. There's one thing we do know, and that's his attitude that I 100% like. I like the fact that during mini camps and all that, he didn't go back home. He stayed here to continue rehabbing through the process. And he didn't sit out in St. Joe when you see everybody else, you know, taking days off, or, you know, the injuries and mounting up. Like, he didn't do it. And I'll say this about him, man. I freaking love Josh Simmons' attitude. We don't know what he can do in the game yet. We'll see. That's yet to come. But one thing we can talk about is his attitude.
Yeah, and just the idea that he is so strong. I think that's the thing that's really jumped off to me, is not only is he athletic. I mean, you have to be athletic to play the tackle position. And I think Kingsley even demonstrated at times some above average athleticism at the tackle position, which is what made us excited last year. Well, now you can combine that and have the strength and the ability to really punch a defensive end and stop him in his place. It's not like, you know, in training camp, regardless of what we see tomorrow, it's not like the Chiefs haven't given him every opportunity to block against Mike Dana, George Karloftis, Charles Omenihu, even a few snaps with Chris Jones. And he's held up extremely well when they've gotten into pads. Yes, he can make mistakes because he's a rookie. But in the one-on-one drills, you know this, Mink, like, you're dealing with a lot of room. So there's going to be an engagement. What happens once you make contact with that defensive end? Well, he's held up really well. He does not look like he's going to have an issue getting to his spots coming out of his pass sets. So I'm interested to see, like, how does he do in the run game tomorrow? Because, of course, you know, the Chiefs can only do so much in practice. Now that it's against a full opponent, hey, if you got Isaiah Pacheco running left tackle, you want to see movement. And then, of course, you want to see how he holds up against, you know, a decent defense in Arizona. Again, we don't know how many starters are going to play for them. But you just want to see a nice performance where you see those physical attributes and he's not making any mental mistakes. Those are the two things that I would like to see. And I think for him, it would be beneficial if Andy Reid said, hey, even though Patrick Mahomes is done after a series or done after two, it would be kind of nice for Josh Simmons and the rest of the starting offensive line to play, you know, a quarter and a half, you know, get some real snaps to where they can build that camaraderie, they can build that communication to where, hey, we're not going into the first game against the Chargers with less than 50% or 50 snaps together. What they need now is for them to see how well can he and Kingsley work out throughout the course of training camp so that you don't have as many surprises when you face the Chargers on opening night.
That's the thing too, Nate, with Kingsley, and I think that storyline gets buried sometimes. And here was the Chiefs, you know, having to go out in the second round, pick 63 with Kingsley, then go back in the first round this year with Josh Simmons because Kingsley wasn't your left tackle. So can you move
right.
the guard? I'll say this. I love his size, love his versatility. I would love when he get out of the pocket, which is going to be perfect for the guard position. But how much will that kind of deter Josh Simmons a little bit? That Joe Tooney isn't sitting there at left guard, you know, a pro's pro that he could lean on. And having a guy getting his first real taste as a starter in the National Football League at left guard when you're next to a rookie playing, how much is that going to be a learning experience, do you think, for Simmons next to Kingsley rather than Tooney?
Yeah, that's the big thing. Like, the best case, you know, the most ideal, the best case scenario would be have the Chiefs not traded Joe Tooney because, you know, he was entering the final year of his contract. We all know that the Chiefs traded him to Chicago to free up cap space and to get an additional pick for the trade. So, again, that would be the best case scenario for Josh Simmons. But the Chiefs need to find out sooner rather than later if Kingsley Suamataia is a draft pick that they find value in, right? He's still a former second-round pick. He's only played one season. He's only played one game at left guard. And, again, you just want to see both guys grow over the course of the preseason and especially early in the regular season. That's why I think they need to be out there as much as possible. And really the burden comes down to Patrick Mahomes making sure he's clear and concise with the protection calls and for Creed Humphrey to understand when the defensive line shifts, when you see that linebacker creeping up or if there's a DB that you've seen on tape where you can start to pinpoint, you know, when the team is going to be aggressive, relaying that message to the left side of the field because you don't have to do that to the right side. You got Juwan Taylor. You got, Trey Smith. Those guys are in place. They've played plenty of football together. It's going to be really for Creed Humphrey in the meetings room along with Andy Heck, the offensive line coach, to understand, hey, if Pat makes a call, how do I relay it to Kingsley? How does Kingsley relay it to Josh in a quick manner so that we're on time, we're on tempo, and we don't make a mental mistake that can put our quarterback in jeopardy? It would be great if they could get on the phone with Joe Tooney. You know, it would be awesome. But that's not going to happen, guys. He plays for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
So this is why training camp matters. This is why the preseason matters because these are two guys trying to do something at a very early stage in their career. And if they can pull it off, my goodness, this offense can become really, really fun again because I think they have a lot more weapons on offense for Patrick Mahomes. It just comes down to protection. And if they can figure that out sooner rather than later, then the Chiefs will be just fine on offense.
And the one thing, too, is, you know, we kind of joke around a lot. They tease me a lot because of camp guy, Tyquan Thornton. I like Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah.
And I know that you think he has a good chance to be on this roster, but he was pick 50, a second-round pick. It's not like this guy was sixth round, seventh round undrafted. He was picked for a reason. He was extremely fast at the combine, ran a 4.21. They readjusted it back to a 4.28, which is like snapping your finger, actually faster than that, like the difference between 4.21 and 4.28. He can fly. Can he run routes better? That's the thing. But working with Matthew Slater when he was in New England, because Slater went from, you know, 10-time, you know, Pro Bowl guy as a gunner on special teams, now a special teams coach. But he got acclimated with that, and that was huge because I think a big part of his role will be a four-phaser on special teams with this team. But now all of a sudden you're going to be counted on more. Now all of a sudden that, right, you know, the sixth and seventh guy matters because, yep, if you have suspensions and injuries – that does matter. I know Nico Remigio is really high on Dave Tobe's list about a returner and get better and better. But Tyquan is a dude that both Reed has talked about, Mahomes has talked about, and we'll probably see him a lot in Arizona, to be honest with you. But what do you think about his routes? Has he gotten better in the actual route running?
Yes, I believe so. And his timing with Mahomes has been, honestly, kind of impeccable. And that's, I think, been the most surprising thing. It's one thing to be physically gifted, to be talented, to be healthy. Obviously, you need all those things for success. But you got to learn what Patrick likes. You got to understand, like, where he wants you to be on a certain route, on a certain time, against a certain coverage. And I think Thornton has put it all together. And so, you know, for ESPN, they asked us on Wednesday, I believe, who's been the most, you know, who's been the biggest star of camp. And I put down Tyquan Thornton. Because
there you go. There you go, Nate.
If he could just have a little bit of this workout and training camp, you now have identified a role for him exactly for the reasons you laid out. If Rashee Rice is suspended, which is the expectation, and if we expect that decision to be before September, then okay, you're going to need, you know, Hollywood Brown, obviously, if he comes back healthy. You're going to need, you know, Xavier Worthy to be your deep threat. You still have Travis Kelce, the best security blanket you could ask for Patrick Mahomes. But hey, we need a guy to win one-on-one on the outside based on everybody I gave you, based on who could line up. Yes, Nico Remigio will be your kickoff returner, your special teams ace, your punt returner who can make a difference in terms of flipping the field. But on third down, one-on-one opportunities, particularly in the red zone, this is where Tyquan Thornton can be a real contributor through the first month of the season, and then you can reassess what happens when Rashee Rice comes back from what we think will be, what, a four-game, six-game suspension somewhere in there.
Yeah.
If there's one guy to watch who's a veteran, who's not a rookie, but could be a factor in September, it really is Tyquan Thornton. So, hey, there's a reason why the Chiefs signed you to the practice squad last year. You sat the entire offseason to get with Mahomes. So, yeah, the lights are going to be on. There's no better time to show why you should be on the team now. If I had to make the decision now, he'd be on the team. So let's prove it. Let's make it a no-doubt decision for Andy Reid, for Brett Veach. You know, make a couple plays in the preseason starting tomorrow, and then you're going to have, again, a legitimate role in the Chiefs offense. You'll be lining up with guys like Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown, and you can make a play or two because the defense is going to have to attract to the old other guys I mentioned before you, which should give you a chance to have success early in the season.
Well, how many receivers do you think they'll keep, Nate? It's been seven the previous 2 years, five the year before that. Because if they do keep seven, you know, we know the five, you know,
yep,
with Royals and Juju,
with Royals,
and of course,
yep,
Xavier and Rice and Hollywood. But then six and seven, so if that's Tyquan, that's Nico. So, you know, maybe Sky Moore squeezed out there just with math. It's not going to be part of the equation, but what do you feel that they'll keep, seven? Because that does matter as far as running backs, tight ends, what you're going to keep, what the final number is going to be.
Yeah, so I love the question because I've been thinking about it throughout training camp. I think we both agree with the seven as of right now. The one difference is, will someone get hurt? Will Rashee Rice get suspended? Could Sky Moore make a late leap up the draft, you know, excuse me, up the depth chart because he has such a stellar preseason? I would actually ask the Chiefs to feature him quite a bit in like the second, third quarters of these preseason games throughout all three, just to see, again, can he stay healthy? Can he do it? Can he be someone that you can maybe trade for a low round pick? We've seen the Chiefs do that before. Hey, if Nico, for whatever reason, doesn't work out on special teams, again, could you use Sky Moore in that role? I'm not sure. But if everything stays the way it has been, if there's no injuries, if there's no surprise performances, I think you keep Tyquan Thornton because he gives you a different flavor in the receiving room when you already have guys who can work in the middle of the field like a Juju Smith-Schuster, like a Jalen Royals. Obviously, Rashee Rice will be coming back from suspension. And so who's even active on game day comes down to that role as well. And again, I think Nico Remigio is the Chiefs' best skilled position guy on special teams. So unless that's proven otherwise, I think this might be the first time where Sky Moore's role in the offense, role on the roster, is really in question, because I just know who's been the best performers in training camp, and that's clearly been Tyquan Thornton. And I'm not sure I would ask Sky Moore to be your punt returner again, because we've seen him struggle at that earlier in his career.
Final question for you, Nate, and really appreciate your time. As always, Nate Taylor from ESPN. Nate, one thing about these preseason games, I used to like them, but they really, I mean, starters are not playing, like, at all. They're wearing headsets and they're doing interviews, you know, in the first quarter. Chiefs are one of the few teams that don't do joint practices. I honestly feel this is the way the NFL's going in lieu of preseason games, to be honest with you. I think people can get more from those. Andy Reid's done things a little bit different. Instead of quarterbacks and rookies showing up early, everybody showed up the same day. So that was a change, a little bit change in how he does things. But are we kind of seeing the end of preseason football? And will the Chiefs, do you think, dive into joint practices again?
As long as Andy Reid is the coach, he will not be doing joint practices, kids. That's just the way it's going to be. Again, we can sort of project this out where you can say, hey, I don't know if it's 2, 3, 4 years down the road. If you guys really want to go to 18 games, and I know Joe Burrow's put that out there, hey, you need 2 buys, which I agree. You need expanded rosters, I agree. Hey, if you want it to be a 53-man roster, okay, we'll bump it up to 60-man rosters. I don't care. But if we do go to 18 games and we do make all those changes roster-wise, schedule-wise, we're probably cutting it to just 2 preseason games, right? Where, hey, for the first game, you want to see what all your new players, all your young guys, all your newcomers do, and then you can use game 2 if you want to get ready for the regular season to say, hey, okay, I actually want to see my guys in uniform going through the procedures, the huddles, the changes, the adjustments, the substitutions. We could do that one time. One quote that has always jumped out to me, and it seems so simple, Bink, but it's true. Andy Reid is very practical when he says this, and he says, well, he said it many times to me. He says, Nate, how can you get better at football? And I go, I don't know. It was a couple years ago. And he's like, you play football. You cannot get better if you don't actually play football. We cannot get better against another team unless I actually play these dudes against another team. And it has so much informed my thought process on what the hell Zach Taylor's been doing for the last 4 years, where he wasn't playing his guys, and then all of a sudden we flip to week 1, and his team looks pretty lethargic. His team looks not tough mentally or not tough physically in the trenches. Well, it's like, well, yeah, you can't get better at that doing that by just practicing. It would be nice if you could, like, play someone to get ready for the season. Oh, that's right. They give you 3 of these freaking preseason games. So I know that there are newcomers who say, hey, Sean McVay doesn't play his guys. Well, it's like, well, you know, he's a really good coach. And, you know, I understand. And so everybody's gone the McVay lane. But there's truth to, like, old cliches. There's truth to, like, traditionalism. There's truth to, like, keep it simple, stupid. You know how Patrick Mahomes is good on week 1? Because he's played in the preseason games in week 1 and week 2 of the preseason. So by the time it's the regular season, man, this seems like old hat to me. I can just come back and rear this thing. And, hey, I've actually had Travis Kelce run routes. So because the Chiefs still have 3 preseason games to work with, I don't think Andy's ever going to do joint practice. Because why would I show you anything? Why would I let you into our place of work? Why would I do that? I'm here out here grinding and trying to get my team ready for our season. We don't need you guys. We only need you when the preseason starts. And when that actually happens, hey, now you'll see, like, our newest version of our team. So if it trims down from, like, 2 preseason games or even just 1 preseason game, maybe you could talk Andy Reid to a joint practice or 2, because it's like, hey, I would still like our guys to, like, you know, get a more live version than just what we do in practice in our own sort of environment. But if the things stay the way it is right now, you're going to see Mahomes in that first and second preseason game along with everybody else, Chris Jones included. And then the third game is to really evaluate, okay, who's going to actually make the last spots on the roster for those sort of last positional battles Because, again, it's still a 53-man roster. All those decisions are vastly important before you go into the season. But as of right now, I'm really happy Zach Taylor has found out that, oh, this guy Andy Reid's smart. I can actually play Jamar Chase. He might be good in week one.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens there. Nate, enjoy the game tomorrow. Looking forward to reading your coverage, seeing your coverage, everything you're going to be doing at the network. Really appreciate that. But thanks for your time, my friend.
Yeah, anytime, man. It's so fun to chat football with you, man. We're back, baby.
I agree, brother. Hey, you have a good one, man. We'll talk to you later, Nate.
Yeah, take care.
There you go. One Nate to the other, Nathan Williams. A lot of Nates, man. A lot of Nates. Rob Brent and Jay Binkley were at the Hollywood Casino. Took that time out and come back and tell you why the NFL Top 100 continues to suck. Next. Yep, speaking of Chiefs football, tomorrow, 96.5, the Fan, Kansas City Chiefs in action. Keep your radio right here.
By the way, keep it right here for Chiefs football. But if you want a signed Charles Omenihu Chiefs football bink to do there, that's called a nice transition.
Gold says career high.
Career high coming. Come by to the Hollywood Casino. We are out here until 6 o'clock broadcasting live for the drive. Come by, register for a chance to win a Charles Omenihu signed football, or register for a chance of tickets to go to Chiefs and Colts later this year at Arrowhead Stadium. But if you come out here, be sure to be following the Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever you're calling that one nowadays. And you have a chance to win $100 in paying cash. Winner pulled the top every hour, so you get about 9 minutes till that gets done. But like I said, we're out here until 6 o'clock today, so get here in the next hour and nine. Have a chance at $100 in pin cash. Have a chance at a Charles Omenihu football. Have a chance at a Chiefs-Colts tickets. Maybe you're at the sports book. You can put a little money on the Royals tonight. Do whatever
you
want.
Or the Chiefs tomorrow.
Or you can play a little Keno. You can play a little slot.
Some Keno action here.
There's a lot of options out here at the Hollywood Casino.
We said $1,600 won by playing Keno.
People are coming over here telling us their wins, and I'm staring longingly at the casino thinking, oh, we got an hour left of the show. Just got to push through before I get to that hour.
Like I told you, it's what I'll be doing tonight. The games have already been decided. Watch some sports in here, a million things in sports. Maybe get a sandwich, a couple beers, play gamble a little bit. But definitely I won't be looking at the NFL Top 100 as I do all the time because I used to like these lists. But it's like the smelling salts, right? Take it away. I wasn't a fan of the NFL getting rid of the smelling salts, to be honest with you. But players have to buy their own. The NFL could afford it, but they, you know, it's stupid
it's
with their masking.
Yeah.
I get it. But it's dumb. But anyway, regardless, guys have to have their own. The NFL Top 100, that can go away too, Rob. At first, when it first came out, I loved it because you'd wait for it all the time. All right, they're releasing every week, you know, 10 more, 10, you know, they'll go count down from 100. But then when you find out, like, when they vote on it, because it's done by the players, which I respect. Like, I'd rather hear the players rank other players than the Colin Cowards of the world rank where players.
The
you
media
know what I'm
types, yeah.
Like Pete Prisco said, I'll run them with the players. But when the players don't really give a damn about filling out the list who their best players are, and when they're filling out November, which what you do at the end of the season or postseason doesn't matter, who really cares?
I agree. And I forget who I was talking to. It was a former Chiefs player. I don't want to say it was one player or the other, but I remember they told me the story that a lot of times it's after practice, they walk over with a sheet, and they're like, here you go, fill this out. And, you know, they fill it out for a little bit, but to get to 100, like, do you really think Patrick Mahomes, who knows who the 96th best player in the NFL is, he's not watching the games every Sunday. He's playing in them. And, yeah, he watches film with other teams, but he's not looking for, oh, you know, I had so-and-so at 89 on my list, but now watching the film, he should be at 82.
Nah.
That's not what he's doing. So these lists a lot of times are built on reputation, and they're built on who you play. I'd imagine Raiders players have Trent McDuffie higher on their list than, say, Seahawks players do.
Yes.
That's not a knock to Trent McDuffie. It's just the way these lists are built. So
they just don't know him.
I think it was a great concept when the NFL came out with it, but I think over time the players have become less and less interested in filling it out based on the timeline, and they're less and less invested in all the games and watching, being able to see
it. It's become like the coach's poll where they hand it to their AD to finish.
It's the communication staff is filling this out as much as it is anyone else. The same people that put out that unofficial roster are probably filling out guys 75 through 100.
Brad
on
G's depth chart.
Brad G's depth chart.
Regardless, and I told you, man, I laugh. I mean, once I see McDuffie's at 81 and Sam Darnold, Mr. P.S. Pants in the postseason 72, that's when I know, all right, I'm done. But I love these lists, Rob. I just keep consuming them. But when McDuffie is nine spots behind Sam Darnold, we got a real problem, man.
Because
Sam Darnold, hey, great season. But the postseason, he sucked.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not trying to run down Trent McDuffie. McDuffie's better than Sam Darnold.
Yes, he is.
If this is an accumulation of 100, you know, ballots, maybe some guys who were in the NFC West last year had, you know, Sam Darnold higher on the list because the quarterback and they played against him. Like, that's the flaw in the metric.
Or they filled it out because they didn't care.
Correct. It's the coach. It's the perfect analogy of the coach's poll. Dabo Swinney has a actually, Eli Drinkwitz. We'll use a local. Eli Drinkwitz has a coach's poll vote. Do you know what Eli Drinkwitz is not doing on Saturday? Watching other teams.
No.
He's watching his.
His. It's so like Bill Snyder used to do.
There's no way he can then look down at his sheet and be like, all right, hold on. I got to watch all the film on Sunday to get my coach's poll done. And you know what? I think Akron's in the top 25 now. He's not doing that. The same way these players are not really being diligent about the top 100.
100%. But, you know, I do enjoy the stuff. I enjoy consuming it. But then when you start seeing stuff like McDuffie way behind Sam Darnold, hey, I know we're in Kansas City. That's fine. But even if I wasn't,
McDuffie's a top 20 player in the NFL.
I would say a shutdown corner is not belong behind a quarterback that, well, came in the league saying he saw a ghost, and then he peed his pants in the postseason this year. Just not buying it. I'm tired of list. Lists are done at this point because real football starts with preseason football, if you want to call it real, but it is still real football. So looking forward to that changing. We're at Hollywood Casino having a great time. Me and Rob out here and some of the sales staff out here winning everything and all the money and not giving us anything. But I digress, Nathan. No one's giving us anything, but I don't care. People are sitting right here in front of the TVs with their bets being placed as well. It's good times out here. Coming up next, though, it is going to be 5 o'clock in Kansas City. You know what that means, the hits.